Yeah, buddy, stealing my lines,
There you
Eli.
go. Well, you were late. You're making your coffee. All right, folks, welcome to Bloodlines here on Eurofolk Radio. And today we're going to be doing part two of Christianity, the best thing that ever happened to women. And as I was scrolling through the net, there's many articles with this exact title. And most of the articles are written by women who recognize that Christianity is, well, let's put it this way, Pastor Steve, in the entire history of the world, and including now, Christianity has done more to liberate women than any other religion. In fact, I would say without fear of contradiction that all other religions and cultures hold their women in abject slavery even today. Especially
Christianity
Islam.
Honors their women.
That's right. That's right. Of course, the feminists would have you believe otherwise. Okay? If you hear the feminists talk, Christianity is the worst thing, and the white patriarchy is the worst thing that ever happened to the world, right?
I know. It's all our fault.
Yeah, it's all our fault. It's all our fault. And the Jewish rabbis and Jewish banksters have nothing to do with it, right? It's the white patriarchy's fault. And so I wanted to start today's show by playing a clip from Lauren Southern. And let me see if I've got the correct channel here.
Southern? Oh, I like it already.
Oh, yeah, right. Now, Lauren Southern, very interestingly, has been labeled by feminists. Of course, Lauren Southern is a woman. But because she's an advocate of men's rights, which, of course, feminists aren't, they've started to call her Mr. Lauren Southern. Talk about sexism, right? That's sexism, bro. But, of course, you know, when feminists engage in sexism, it's okay. So, but here's what...
Yeah, there's no rules for them. Rules are only for us.
Yeah, rules are only for men, right? And then when we break
no,
them,
rules, rules are only for... our side.
Right, right, exactly.
Okay.
The left never
their
abides
side,
by any rules.
The libs have no rules. They can do
yes,
and say anything they want.
Yeah, and the press lets them get away with it, okay? But here's
well,
Lauren
Southern.
Yeah, here is Lauren Southern on a video. It's about, it's only 3.5 minutes long, 4 minutes long, and it's titled, Why I Am Not a Feminist. Okay, so here she goes, and we'll interrupt here a couple of times, I think.
Hello, my name is Lauren. A few years ago, I uploaded this photo of myself holding a sign saying, I don't need feminism because I believe in equality, not entitlements and supremacy. To my surprise, the photo was shared all over the internet, from BuzzFeed and even on Time Magazine. I got a lot of support for the photo, but I also got a lot of hate and criticism. Most of that criticism from feminists who claimed I did not know what the word feminism means because feminism is actually a movement for equality. So today I wanted to speak to those feminists and explain why I'm still not a feminist and why third wave feminism is not in fact a movement for equality. I want to start
by... So she's saying feminism is not a movement for equality. It's definitely about
something else.
Okay.
Well, they're a movement for equality as in... everyone is equal, but some are more equal than
That's
others.
That's right, okay.
From Animal Farm,
amen.
Remember?
Amen, amen. Okay, let's continue.
By asking a question. If feminism is a movement for equality, why do we not see equal representation of both genders' issues? And why do we not see feminists complaining about...
Yeah, feminists have no sympathy for men whatsoever. All we ever get is accusations and blame, especially if we're white men. Right? Interestingly, Steve, have you ever noticed that feminists never blame Jewish men for anything?
Oh, no. That's because Jewish men don't do anything.
I guess not. I guess not. Okay, so...
Well, there's an old joke. How do you stop a Jewish American princess from having sex with you? And the answer is marry her.
Yeah, very good, very good. That's why Jewish men don't like to marry Jewish women.
No, they don't. They marry shiksas.
That's right. And a shiksa,
remember
that's
the video, the comic video, Shiksa Goddess?
Right. Talk about a racist, sexist word. Shiksa. Okay. Shiksa, feminists never point that out either.
You look at the Jewish women.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good grief.
They invented feminism, too.
Well, now there's that old joke about the big black guy that went in a bar and sat down next to this little white guy, and he leans over and says really obnoxiously, "I kisses white women." Right. And the little guy looked at him and says, "Yeah, I don't blame you. I wouldn't want to kiss one of those black heifers either."
Yeah, right, right. Yeah, yeah. Which, since we're telling jokes, Greg Howard told me a really good one when I was visiting him up in New York.
And, surely not.
Yes. Yeah, so it's a question type joke. What does a Negro give his child for Christmas? Any idea?
No.
No, give up your bicycle.
Your bicycle.
That's
yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay, let's continue with that. That was very racist, and we're proud of it, folks, because the races are not equal. The genders are not equal. There's nothing equal in the world. The entire creation, what the philosophers call the manifold, is based on absolute diversity. Even within genders, even among women, there's smarter women, there's dumber women. Among men, there's smarter men and dumber men, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, why do the more stupid women always get a hold of the microphone?
Yeah, right. That's a conspiracy.
Yeah, they always get the bullhorn at the rally. Yeah,
that's right. And they spewed a bull with liberalism, with liberal bull. All right, bovine excrement. Let's continue with Lauren, who is a really sharp lassie.
Benefits that women have over men in certain situations. I bet very few people watching this video right now know that around 100,000 to 140,000 males are raped annually in U.S. prisons.
Wow. 100,000 to 140,000 men are raped annually in the prison system.
You know, all those years I was in prison, there was never a rape. There were so many queers that they didn't have to.
So it wasn't called rape, it was called consensual sex.
Oh, it was absolutely consensual.
Mm-hmm.
They go around soliciting.
Right, the officers or who? I mean,
no,
obviously.
No, the other prisoners. It was almost always black. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the queers also were the little white guys that wanted to be black dude.
He wanted to be a hoe.
Biatch.
Right, yeah. Okay, so it just shows the degeneracy of our society that this is allowed to go on in prisons, right?
And they had whole sections of the lunchroom when you went in the chow hall, they all sat together.
Right, right.
Oh.
You didn't want to sit near them.
Well, we had guys with breasts and everything else. They were taking hormone treatments.
Even
they
in
had
prison,
bras and pant. They were wearing bras and panties in prison.
Man. Oh, it's like the outside world.
Oh yeah,
it's like Broadway and Clark Street.
There's a whole section of it is just like San Francisco.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Broadway and Diversity, Clark and Broadway diverge like a fork, and intersected by Diversity. That's fag headquarters in the city of Chicago, and there's a gigantic billboard on top of one of the buildings there advertising gay vacations. You know, so you can imagine how many fags come back from those vacations with various unpronounceable diseases.
Or they take them with them.
Right? Right? And distribute.
You go to Haiti, 90-some percentile of the Haitians are HIV positive.
Right, right, yeah. For some reason, among blacks, the spread of sexual diseases is epidemic and always has been, right? So they don't discriminate.
Well, white race, if you are pure white blood, we have a genetic resistance to that disease. Mm-hmm. They've proven that.
Really?
And the blacks have none.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they also believe in Africa that having sex with a virgin will cure AIDS. That's voodoo religion in Africa, folks. So, well, and we're bringing those people over here.
So few get cured because they can't find any virgins.
That was a sexist joke, right? Okay, let's continue. Lauren Southern, she's got facts for us, folks, not libtard theories.
This is more males raped than females in the U.S. annually, yet feminists remain silent on the issue. Almost half the domestic abuse victims in the U.S. and Canada are men. Yet there are no safe houses for them, no court advocacy programs, no subsidized counseling or legal care like women. Despite being half the victims, they are basically ignored. Men make up 80% of suicide victims.
Okay, now here's some hard facts. Men make up 80% of suicide victims. If it's so great to be a man, and all this white supremacism and male privilege and blah, 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 the white patriarchy, why is it that men are committing suicide at such a high rate? Okay. If society is structured toward male supremacism, which it is not. Okay.
I just did Proverbs, and several times in Proverbs it repeats itself. It is better to live in the corner of a housetop than with a contentious woman in a shared house.
Okay, right. Yeah, I know how that feels. All right. Okay. And, of course, that works both ways. You know, men brutalize women, women brutalize men. It works both ways. But feminism fails to recognize that kind of equality. Right.
Look at what Hillary did with Bill. She was throwing lamps and vases and stuff at him.
Right. Yeah.
Ran him right out of the Oval Orifice there.
Right.
A couple of times.
Yeah.
Screaming trying to hit him with stuff. And
right. Well, that's because he was flirting with Monica, you know, while Hillary was flirting.
He didn't care.
I know.
About that. They met, they were both, that's how she and him, and Bill met. They were both dating the same girl.
Yeah, and she was really president, not Bill. So, I mean, she already had her chance, okay? And then she was messing around with Janet Reno. Okay, so yeah, you're right. She didn't care. She didn't care that Bill was messing around.
She's got that Arab.
Oh,
whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That Arab supremacist as a personal secretary. Yeah, I mean, it's just ridiculous what goes on and passes for normal, right, in the left-wing world. So let's get these statistics, folks.
92% of workplace deaths, 97% of combat deaths.
Okay, 92% of workplace deaths are male. 97% of combat deaths are male. It sounds to me like women don't have it that bad. Not in this world. Okay? And the Bible does not require women to go into combat. All right? Which is really nice. All right? I wish I didn't have to go to Vietnam. So, you can skew statistics all you want. The facts are that it's much more dangerous to be a male than it is to be a female. So things balance out, okay? So, you have to stay home and nurse your baby, which is the right way to do it, okay? And but yet feminists think that that's oppressive, right? Well, how about 92% of males dying on the job? I'd say that's oppressive, okay? Feminists don't want to do those jobs that are really dangerous, okay? Let's continue.
And 77% of homicide victims. Men are objectified. Men are raped. Men are mistreated. Men are held to ridiculously high societal standards, just like women. Yet feminists continue to place this blanket judgment over all men that they are all privileged, and all women that they are all oppressed. Yet, as a woman, I will almost always win custody of children in a divorce case. I will receive less than half the sentence a man does for the exact same crime, and actually have my rape and assault accusations taken seriously, and I won't be laughed at for not being manly enough. With one quick Google search, I can find a safe house in my area if I have been in an abusive relationship. As a woman, I am more likely to get a government or military job, despite qualifications, just to fill a quota due to a...
Yeah, the safe house for men is the local bar, right? Which ain't so safe.
Affirmative action. And I'm also more likely to get into a university because of my gender.
That's discrimination.
So if feminism really were a movement for equality, you would see feminists rioting about the 140,000 men raped. You would see them questioning the fact that women get less than half the prison sentence a man does for the exact same crime. Yet, we do not see equal representation of men's and women's issues. Despite popular belief, feminism is not, in fact, a synonym for equality. I'm not trying to say that men have more issues than women. My point is that both genders have issues. And to argue that feminism is a movement for equality and doesn't just represent one gender's issues is quite frankly ridiculous. So this is why I'm not a feminist. I'm not a feminist because I believe that both genders should be treated equally and both their issues should be addressed. I'm not a feminist because I believe I should prove that I'm worthy of a job rather than having it given to me to fill a quota. I'm not a feminist because feminists are unintentionally creating a world of reverse sexism that I don't want to be a part of. So I will stick to promoting equality and justice, rather than a faux form of equality under the label of a gender bias word. Feminism.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you, Lauren. Well said. Well said. The fact is that the feminists and the mass media have convinced modern society, and mainly white society, because it just does not apply to other societies where feminism is not even an issue. It's not taken seriously anywhere else except
not
in the West.
Not in the black community.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So it's only an issue, and it's primarily an issue for white women, because white women must be brainwashed by all of this libtard rhetoric to reject the gender roles that Yahweh has created for our two genders. It's just that simple. It's a satanic Jewish assault on Yahweh's definition of gender. Your thought?
Well, the treating of women as sex objects is complete in the black community. They are nothing but sex objects. You hear them talk in prison about all their baby mamas.
Right.
They don't use the word wife because they're not married.
That's right.
And when these apes get out, they go get a couple of new baby mamas, father a couple of new kids, and then commit the same crime, and then they go right back to prison, and they've got a whole new group of baby mamas that they're promising, oh, I'm going to be with you exclusively, baby. I'll be with you. You my woman. And they send them money.
A little bit, right?
Oh, no. Oh, no, no, no. No, no, you're wrong there, Eli. They'll get $100 a week from five women.
They will? Wow.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's how they split the welfare money?
Absolutely. They're getting $500 a week from baby mamas on the outside.
Okay. That's probably because they deliver the drugs.
And well, there's that too, but the drugs don't come into prison in the visiting room.
Uh-huh.
The drugs come into prison through the officers.
Oh, right.
The officers get payments on the outside, and they bring it in their lunch boxes.
Yes.
Now, come on. You know, I did 13 years. I know what's cooking.
Right.
And so does everybody else. They had that one warden at Forest City that was told he was going to retire because over $3 million were missing. He had cooked the books.
Right?
He milked it for, and they were the officers steal from the warehouse.
He was a master chef.
And they had one guy that was running his own restaurant two towns over, and he was supplying the restaurant with food from
from the
commissary warehouse, the vegetables and the meat and everything else.
Amazing.
And we were fed absolute garbage.
Right.
I mean, the food, you know, when I got out, when we stopped at that just any restaurant, You have no idea what a hellhole it is for a straight white Christian man in prison.
Right.
Just being locked up with the animals is the worst part.
Right.
And I stayed in the book. I would not watch TV, didn't go in the TV room. I wouldn't associate with the little groups. And I taught Christian identity while I was in prison and made a number of converts, including some of the guards, the white guards.
Yes. Yeah,
and they thought I was weird and strange because I wouldn't talk to anybody. What am I going to talk to some animal about?
Right.
What possible conversation could I have?
Yes, yes. Well,
and all the higher ups in the prison were black.
Mm-hmm.
All the big officers. I never saw a white warden.
Mm-hmm.
Never had a white warden in all the prisons. They kept moving me because I taught Christian identity.
Right.
And the guards were shaking my hand and stuff, and somebody'd write them up. And then all of a sudden, pack your stuff, Anderson. You're moving.
Right. Right.
So yeah. I was in Atlanta, Talladega, Alabama, Bennettsville, South Carolina, Lexington, Kentucky. I was here for a while. And Forest City, Arkansas. I was in five prisons during
my
sentence.
How come I was always in the South? Did they think you were a Southerner?
Because I was in a district.
There
are districts, and they move you to prisons in those districts. But they kept moving me around and losing all my Christian identity paperwork.
Right, right, right. That's why.
Oh, I guess it didn't make it into transit, so I'd have to order a bunch of other stuff. And you sent me all kinds of stuff.
Right, and you sent me your book so that it wouldn't be confiscated by the prison.
That's right. That's right. So you are so supportive of the true Christian identity prisoners. It's amazing. And there are only a few that are really true. The others are dabblers and game players.
That's right. There's a lot of those. Exactly. Exactly.
And, but people that are really in it,
right,
that are really trying to live it, are few and far between. But you are very supportive, as Pastor Mullet is, of prisoners.
Yes, white prisoners,
you know,
in the gulag.
That's the whole thing, man. And the population disparity among whites, it's almost always all black and Mexicans.
Yes, yes.
And there's a lot of conflict between the Mexicans and the blacks because the Mexicans hate the blacks more than we do,
if that's
possible.
Yes, they do. And they don't hide it either. Okay.
No, they do not.
Yeah.
And you don't go, if you don't have permission, you don't go in the Mexican part of the yard.
Right, right.
Because they're all strapped up. They got weapons.
Yes.
And
yes.
They are extremely violent.
Yes.
And now, the biggest problem among the blacks in the prisons is the black Muslims.
Right.
They are a gang.
Mm-hmm. So is
they
Islam.
Are not a religious group.
Islam is a gang. That's all it is.
That's Never all they
gang.
Are.
Yeah, it's a violent gang from the very beginning. Now, last week we also talked about breastfeeding and how natural it is, and yet there is this societal disapproval of breastfeeding, especially if it's done publicly. But if a woman has to travel and take her baby along, she covers herself up with a towel or something, yet there's still all of this animosity toward breastfeeding women. I just don't understand it.
No, that's where the newborn gets almost all of its antibodies.
That's right.
I mean, that breastfeeding is essential.
Absolutely essential.
Formula does not, the baby is lacking in immunity toward diseases if it does not breastfeed.
But breastfeeding militates against the feminist view that breastfeeding makes it appear that the genders are not equal, right? That the genders are actually different.
Well, that's because they're not.
Yeah, right, exactly. But you can't convince a feminist of that. And these people actually claim to be scientifically oriented, right? And they actually deny the reality of gender. right? This is how crazy these feminists are. But of course, we know it's all propaganda. It's Jew-inspired propaganda, and the mass media constantly gives us their perspective, and our perspective is never given, you know, any popularity whatsoever in the main media, right? Absolutely none. And I mentioned Grace Kelly was a staunch advocate of breastfeeding, and this is probably why no one ever hears anything about Grace Kelly anymore. All you ever hear about her is her few, you know, acting performances on the big screen. But this is from a tummystyle.com. Maternity nursing clothes. Now, this is not a major publication, folks. this is a publication about maternity nursing clothes, and this is how they're trying to keep this subject under wraps. Why? Because this is a corporate business, folks. Last week, we talked about how Nestle and other formula companies militate against breastfeeding because that...
Chemicals.
Yes, because that inhibits sales. Okay, that's what's really going on here. To quote from this article, Grace was one of the first celebrities to support and speak on behalf of La Leche League to advocate breastfeeding. She joined La Leche League in 1965 after the birth of her youngest son, Caroline. In one of her speeches and press conferences for La Leche League in Chicago, she said she breastfed all of her children after birth. She said, "I wouldn't think of having a baby without feeding him myself," unquote. Grace said she believed in improving the solidarity of family to help society overall and felt the best way to start this process was by focusing on mother's connection to the baby at birth by breastfeeding. Quote, "Solidarity begins with the child at the mother's breast," unquote. She continued, "As women, it is one of our biggest prides that we have in our bodies, every element that an infant needs for perfect health and growth," unquote. So you see why Grace Kelly has been made persona non grata by the liberal left feminist libtards.
I think she's gone now, isn't she?
Yeah, I believe she was actually murdered.
Yeah, Nimblehorse posted in the chat room, formula milk equals potions and spells.
There you go.
Amen, brother. Yes. Amen.
Yes, right. And there's probably some bovine excrement in that formula, too.
Yeah,
right?
Whatever.
Right? They found it in McDonald's and Burger King, folks. They found it there, too. So... okay, so the Milwaukee Sentinel documented that her 1971 La Leche League speech was attended by 1,400 women and their children and caused quite a stir among the public and other hotel guests. Quote, "Passers-by looked twice as women were nursing their babies in the hotel lobby. Horror of horrors." You know, it's amazing to me, Pastor Steve, that we live in a society where there's open pornography on the silver screen. And on television.
And on the street.
And on the street, yeah. And yet people complain about breastfeeding in a hotel lobby? Well, are you serious?
Well, yeah, they are very serious. They,
how about getting some perspective here?
Right? No, they don't have to have perspective.
Yeah, right?
Only we have to have perspective.
Yes.
Remember, there's no rules for them, only rules for us.
Yes. And so the author says, "What amazes me is that it is that now in 2014, over 40 years after this event occurred, and we still have to protest to protect the rights of nursing women in public, and even to overcome the social stigma of breastfeeding outside your home. Even today, we have newsworthy protests as women have nursing protests outside places of business, like fitness centers, where mothers are often regulated to nursing their babies in the restrooms." A nice clean place. "Nursing women everywhere receive dirty looks when discreetly nursing their babies in public places and are often asked to leave or relocate." I can't believe this. This is Yahweh's natural design.
Well, they go against all the natural laws of Yahweh, the very first being kind after kind.
Yes.
They can't stand any of Yahweh's natural processes that he designed. They're anti-Yahweh.
That's right. And they're anti-nature.
People, Well, why are you against that? Because they're against Yahweh. They are tares and goats.
Yes. And the goats don't like the sheep seeing the sheep breastfeeding.
Yeah, well,
right. That's what it boils down to, folks. Right.
Well, the goats have no goat's milk.
Yeah, that's right. I know the author says, I have spent many hours nursing all three of my babies on public toilets, and although this can be a choice of privacy, it should not be a requirement. I believe every new mom should be awarded a card at birth which gives her the right to nurse in public for the first year of her baby's life, sort of like a driver's license. You shouldn't have to have a license to breastfeed your baby. It should be a birthright for any baby
to have to have a driver's license. Yeah, right. Because you're not driving, you're not engaged in commerce.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Particularly by way of breastfeeding, as it is the cleanest, most sanitary, and healthiest way for a baby to eat, and it does not create a mess like formula does. All right? So we see the corporations, the feminists, the Jews. I mean, where's this nonsense that the white patriarchy rules the land? That's absolute nonsense. If it were up to me, and my wife breastfed both our daughters, there's no shame involved in it whatsoever. Where does the shame come from? Who's responsible for shame, if not the Jews and the feminists? And, of course, the corporations that they own. So, folks, it's time for us to wake up and realize that all of this nonsense about gender is just that. It's all propaganda designed to, first of all, make women feel ashamed of their bodily processes, okay? And likewise men to be ashamed because we're different, right? It's all about shaming us for being what Yahweh designed us to be. Okay? So getting back to this article here that we started quoting from last week, and this is Sue Bolin, Christianity, the best thing that ever happened to women. And it goes without saying that only Christianity has ever respected women's rights. No other religion has ever respected women's rights, period.
Okay. Well, they held women to a standard of morality.
Right. Well, that too, sure. Yeah. And you know, there's correctness. Some of the feminist arguments aren't always wrong. You know, there has been a double standard. You know, you have the cheating husband. While the wife stays home breastfeeding children, he's out carousing, right? Well, it's easier for the man to do that because he's not confined to the home like a breastfeeding mother is, right?
So, well, that's an inherent fault of the testosterone and the breakdown of society has taught our men that they can do that.
That's right.
Oh, just got to go sow your wild seed. Well, no, right. You don't.
Right.
Not according to Scripture. And it's a breakdown of society where men, it's only a show on Sundays.
Right.
And it's not heartfelt, and they're not willingly following Yahweh's laws. It's a morality breakdown within our white society. We need to look at the people in the mirror, too, folks.
Right.
It's not all the Jews' fault. It's us going along with it that's the problem. There's a little word. It's called no.
Right.
We need to say no more often.
Right.
We need to stand up and be Israelite men.
That's right.
We need to say, no, I'm not going along with that. I'm not doing that. I'm not treating my wife like that. I'm not going to some bar and picking up some hoe.
Yeah.
Not happening. No, right. Not in my life. I'm a Christian. I'm a real Christian. I'm going to obey the commandments
in
the Scripture. Okay. That's what needs to be done, and it starts with each individual man.
That's right. That's right. And so the complaints that the feminists have are not, you know, if Christian men would obey the law, and the Christian churches don't require anybody to obey the law anymore, that's hypocritical, right? But we see that the feminists are just as hypocritical, if not worse, in ignoring the problems that men face in their lives, right? They simply pretend, as Lauren Southern correctly pointed out, that men are always privileged and never oppressed. Well, that's garbage. It's
garbage. We're just told that we have to suck it up, man up,
right?
Yeah, right.
Okay. All right. So let's pick up where we left off. And when Lazarus died, Jesus comforted Martha. Oh, actually, let me put this in the chat room here. Christianity, the best thing that ever happened to women. When Lazarus died, Jesus comforted Martha with this promise containing the heart of the Christian gospel. Quote, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? That's John 11:25-26. These remarkable words were spoken to a woman. Apparently because the male priesthood didn't want to hear it. Right. Quote, to teach a woman was bad enough, but Jesus did more than that. He called for a verbal response for Martha. Once more, he went against the socio-religious custom by teaching a woman and by having her publicly respond to him, a man. Now this, I would say this is the Pharisaic custom that was in application at the time, the Pharisaic being the Jewish version of Old Testament religion, okay? And gender roles are designed by Yahweh, but you can't ascribe to the Old Testament what had become already at this time Jewish tradition, okay? Because the fact is that when most of the Israelites were farmers, when the man had to leave the homestead to either to go to war or to go to Feast of Tabernacles or whatever, the woman ruled the roost. She was the queen of the house, right? Women had tremendous rights and responsibilities in ancient Israel, as they do today, but never in any other society.
Well, they ruled the roost even when he was home, because he was right out in the field.
Right, that's true.
Taking care of, there were roles in the marriage. This is the man's role, and this is the woman's role. Mm-hmm. He wasn't at home kneading dough and baking bread, yeah, and doing all of that stuff.
Right.
He was out behind the plow animals, plowing fields and reaping and harvesting.
Right.
And if they were prosperous, overseeing the hirelings that he had, right, they would hire young men to do the harvest, right, young men that didn't own their own land, etc.
Right.
They hadn't inherited from their father, or he had a bunch of sons like Israel did.
Right.
And they were out tending the flocks. They were, pardon me, they were all over the place doing all this work. You had a big family because that's what you ran the farmland with. Your sons, who can you trust more than your own family? Well, now that isn't even true.
Yes.
Yeah. That's how far down we have degenerated. Your sons in Kentucky, they're hiring Mexicans to harvest the tobaccos, because the sons want to sit on the front porch and drink beer and smoke marijuana. They don't want to work. Hell no, Daddy, I ain't going to do that. You get that Mexican over there to do that.
Yes, right.
That's hard work. I ain't supposed to do that. You got them Mexes.
Right.
Get that Mex to do it.
Yep,
and they're sad and sorry. When Daddy dies, they don't know how to run the farm. They're too lazy to do anything. They sell off the farmland.
Yes.
And go live in a trailer someplace.
Yeah. Which all proves that Yahweh's laws are being scoffed at, laughed at, and totally avoided, but even by so-called Christians today. Okay. So.
But these people will show up in church every Sunday and sit in the Amen pew.
Mm-hmm. That's right. P.U.
Because it's a dog and pony show.
Right.
It's
right.
All a show.
Yeah. And the men were out shoveling dung. They never asked the women to do that. The dungarees, those were put on by men, and they would shovel the dung, folks. Actually, I did that once. I once worked on a farm in Wisconsin, and I had to pull the manure spreader across the field. talk about a stinky job.
Yeah, well, cow manure is bad enough, but you get around horses.
Oh, really?
Now, they don't use horse manure
for
very much because it is so hot, physically hot in its composition, it'll burn the roots of the plants.
Really?
That's yes.
Okay.
Yes. They have to let it sit and deteriorate over a long period of time where they do not have to do that with cow manure. Uh-huh. Cow manure is prevalent in fertilizing, but horse manure is too hot in its decomposition content and will burn the roots of the plants. A little farm tip there, folks.
Right.
Been there, done that.
Right, right. Yeah, so this is not pretty work, folks. And it's usually done by men, almost
never.
The
most dangerous occupation in the world is farming.
That's right.
More deaths occur with farm equipment, combines and tractors, overturning and something breaking and flying and hitting somebody and cutting their head off.
Right. Yeah.
I've seen that. Farming's dangerous.
So the reality is that women are protected from all this dangerous work. They're not oppressed because of it. They're protected from it. That's the reality. And, of course, the feminists twist that around. We don't see any feminists volunteering to do farm work or to dig ditches.
Well,
right?
They get these women that want to be policemen, and they get out there. And you get a big male cop, and he's got two or three rowdies, and he'll calm them down because he's physically capable of doing it.
Right.
And a woman's in that situation, they laugh at her and take her nightstick away from her and give her a good beating sometimes.
Right. Yeah.
And then a male, you try to intervene and try to help her, and she slapped the cuffs on you for interfering.
Right.
I don't need your help. That's why you got two black eyes, a broken nose, three teeth missing.
Right.
Yeah, you don't need anybody's help, honey. No. Those three guys just beat the fire out of you, and I try to stop it, and you want to arrest me.
Right? Yeah, that's how crazy modern society is in promoting this false equality. Okay?
Well.
So we've had several incidents here in Chicago of female cops doing exactly what you say, overreacting because, you know, all they have left is the gun, right? And we had a white female cop shoot a black woman because the black woman got rowdy, threw a cup of Pepsi or whatever in her face, okay? And then she took off in her car, and then the white cop lady chased her and shot her, okay? Kind of like road rage, right? So, and then we had a black police
woman. Did she kill her?
I didn't follow. I just heard the quick story.
Oh, well, I know all the blacks in Chicago, most of them need marksmanship classes.
That's right.
Because if they're going to shoot one another, you might as well do it and kill the other guy so you call the herd for us. That's just fine.
Right. And a black woman cop killed a white woman. She had stopped her for whatever reason, and she got out of the car, and the black cop lady saw a flashing object, which she quickly assumed to be a gun and just shot the white woman, killed her. And it turned out to be a compact case or something like that, you know, or a cigarette case, not a gun at all. So she got spooked and just murdered the white woman. So
she got spooked, huh?
Yeah, right.
Pardon my choice of words. There,
right? Exactly. Exactly. So, and then we have as a common result of demanding that women do jobs that are way too dangerous for their bodies. For example, linesmen, a job of linesmen, you know, working up these high tension wires and hooking up.
Oh, yeah.
That's
rough work, man.
It's hard work. And so they force women to take that job, but there's certain jobs that are just too strenuous for them to do. So what happens? The men have to work overtime. They're already tired from the long day's work, and then they have to work overtime because the women just can't do the job.
And the fatigue factor gets
that's
to them, and they make a mistake, and something happens, and they get hurt.
And men
another
suffer
one
for
is
it.
Boilermakers.
Okay.
The people that work on boilers, you talk about nasty work.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes great physical strength because you have to break a lot of those pipes loose.
Right.
And women just can't do it. Same way with firefighters. They have to prove, they have to carry big sacks of sand up and down ladders. And a lot of them just can't do it.
Right. Right.
So they fail the
test.
It's
life and death. It's life and death.
And then they scream and holler about it.
Right. And then forcing women into combat? You know, this is totally Jewish, folks. That's where it began. It's in Israel where the government requires women to go into combat. Okay? And the Jews have forced that on our society as well. Okay? So everything and anything that defies Yahweh's laws is what feminism is about. And that's all it's about. It's not about equality. It's not about equal rights. It's about forcing society to disobey Yahweh's laws.
That's it.
That's what it's about. Okay.
Yep.
So this article continues. All three of the synoptic gospels note that women followed Jesus, a highly unusual phenomenon in first century Palestine. This behavior may not seem unusual today, but in Jesus' day, it was highly unusual. Scholars note that in the prevailing culture, only prostitutes and women of very low repute would follow a man without a male escort. Now, usually this was done for the woman's protection, right? And even today, mm-hmm. you know, parents let their daughters go on spring break in Florida and other places, Cancun, where they, you know, get drunk and raped.
Or not raped. They just willingly just let animal have them.
Yeah, yeah. This
because they're running around. You see the bathing suits today. They're not bathing suits.
No, right.
There's nothing. They're G-string.
No, right. They're as the French say, whatever the prostitutes wear in Paris this year is next year's fashion, right? So this is what's happening in society, and somehow parents have so little regard for their daughters that they allow them to do this. Right? This is not loving your daughter, folks. This is your setting.
They come home pregnant with some niglet.
Yeah, right? Yeah, then, or with some disease.
Well, he's just such a beautiful child. Oh,
right, yeah. And Sue Boland says, these women were not groupies. Some of them provided financial support for Jesus and the apostles. The first people Jesus chose to appear to after his resurrection were women. Not only that, but he instructed them to tell his disciples that he was alive. In a culture where a woman's testimony was worthless because she was worthless, Jesus elevated the value of women beyond anything the world had seen. Now, again, this applies to Judeo culture in the time of Jesus. And we talked about last week about how Rachel saved her idols because they were things of authority. Women had property ownership. Okay, when the husband dies, it belongs to the wife. Okay, this is not true in other cultures. It never has been true in other cultures. We talked about widow burning and wife burning in India. Once a woman becomes widowed in India, she is just cast out.
Or she's cast up on the funeral pyre.
On the funeral pyre. Yeah, well, take your choice, okay? They have homes for widows because their families simply reject them. They're cast out, have nowhere left to go, okay? So this is India. This is Hinduism. Islam is no better. None of the other religions are any better. Only Christianity has ever given women any rights whatsoever. And that's the fact. That's the absolute fact. And history proves it. Okay. Paul, Peter, and women. Jesus gave women status and respect equal to men. Not only did he break with the anti-female culture of his era, which was Jewish, not Israelite, but he set a standard for Christ followers. Peter and Paul both rose to the challenge in what they wrote in the New Testament. In a culture that feared the power of a woman's external beauty and feminine influence, I don't know if it feared it. I think that's overstating the case. Peter encouraged women to see themselves as valuable because God saw them as valuable. Absolutely. His call to aspire to the inner beauty of a trusting and tranquil spirit is staggeringly countercultural. Well, here, she's contrasting modern society, which is, you know, which emphasizes physical appearance, right? And today, I can't imagine being a teenage girl growing up in modern society with all of the pressure to be sexy and beautiful, right? I mean, it's just, first of all, they don't allow you, boys or girls, to grow up. They're not allowed to have a childhood. Our culture is so sexualized from kindergarten on up that you can't get away from it. And whose fault is that? Is that the white patriarchy?
They're having sex at 12 years of age, 11, 12. Yeah.
And the schools are pushing this. This is not the white
patriarchy. Yeah, they're handing out condoms.
That's right. You can't blame this on the white patriarchy. This is the liberal establishment that's doing this, folks. Feminists, hello? This is not the white patriarchy, certainly not the white Christian patriarchy. This is the liberal Jewish establishment that's pushing these drugs on children and forcing them and encouraging them to be sexually active before they're even teenagers. You can't blame this on the white patriarchy, folks. Nor can you blame the rape culture on the white patriarchy. That's exclusively Jewish. So stop blaming us, feminists, for what your Jewish college professors are advocating. Who's creating the rape culture? It's the pornographers. It's the people pushing free love, destroying the family. Well, Pastor Steve, what is the worst thing that has ever happened to black people besides the welfare? Go ahead.
Well, first of all, the removing of them from Africa.
Right.
They should have stayed there.
Right. The Jews did that. The Jews brought them over here.
Well, their own, no. The Jews took advantage of the fact that the ones that were shipped over here were the defeated tribesmen. And the blacks that won wanted them out of their area.
Right. Yeah, discrimination.
And so they sold them. They sold them to the Arabs, who transported them to the coast, and sold them to the Jewish ship owners, who shipped them over here, who sold them to the lazy, greedy white landowners that didn't want to pay white tenant farmers.
Right.
Exactly. I mean, it's all about money. It's all about greed, the importation of these slaves.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't biblical slavery. That's only applies to Israelites, 7 years.
Indentured servitude, yeah.
Well, right. But the non-whites were permanent property in those times back then. They were not afforded the 7 years. They were permanent beasts of burden.
Yes.
Because they did not consider them
men. There's no racial equality in the Bible, none whatsoever.
No, mm-hmm. Absolutely not. When the Nubians started to come into Egypt, they were killed.
Yes, that's right.
And Cush was not a Negro nation. They translated as Ethiopia. It was not Ethiopia. Hebrew Cush was a different land area. And they were Hebrews, but not Israelites.
Yes. Hamites. They were Hamites.
That's right. That's correct.
In Egypt.
And they were white.
Mm-hmm. And they were white. Exactly.
But they were not Yahweh worshipers.
Right. Right. So the present culture, which is entirely materialistic, stresses external beauty, external appearances, luxury, a flashy car, blah, 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 right? This is what modern society values.
Well, they stress the world.
Yes.
Okay? They stress the world, not the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
It's world theology versus kingdom theology. Right. That's the problem.
Yeah. Now, who's pushing that materialism? Certainly not Christianity.
Well, who are the merchants that sell all this stuff?
Right. Okay.
Okay.
So
let's get right down to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Jews.
That's there. You go.
The Kanani. Because the Canaanites were merchants.
That's right. And they still are today.
In Proverbs 31, it says, the sell them to the Canaani. Because the Canaanites were the merchants. They were the merchants in the temple. And who were Canaanites? Well, the Edomites are also Canaanites because they mixed with the Hittites who were Canaanites.
Right.
And they were the merchants then. They are the merchants now. Follow the money.
Yes.
Follow the degradation.
Yes.
Which is brought on by the money because if they sell sin. Sin sells well.
It's
look at
profitable.
Hollywood movies.
That's
everything
right.
is sin, and they promote this.
Yes.
And they promote lascivious behavior through their movies.
Yes, yeah. And so the feminists never point out that what they're criticizing is not part of white Christian culture. It's actually part of Jewish culture. And because the whole movement has been inspired by Jews. I mean, you look at all the feminists, the leading lights of feminism, Betty Friedan, Bella Abzug. You're talking some of the most hideous, I even hesitate to call them females, creatures. Some of the most hideous creatures whose only purpose... She-beasts. There was a movie. There were movies about those she-beasts in the 60s, right? The she-devils. There you go. She-devils. Yeah. And it has nothing to do with the white patriarchy whatsoever. Has nothing to do with Christianity whatsoever. Yeah, there are Christians who are hypocrites and engage in things that don't practice what they preach. But man, if you want to talk about hypocrisy, look at the Jews. That's real hypocrisy. But they never mention this, okay? So they have this double standard. They blame everything on the white men, okay? Everything is blamed on white men, and all other men of other cultures are given a pass, and of course, all the women are given a pass. So who's being discriminated against, Pastor Steve?
Usins.
Usins, right? us menfolk. We're the ones who are really being discriminated against.
Okay? Oh, yeah.
And that's the
white
men
folk.
Yeah. As Lawrence Southern pointed
specifically
out.
White men folk.
Exactly.
The others are not. They got a pass.
As Lawrence Southern correctly pointed out, it's very difficult for a white male to get into college. White males are discriminated against in court cases. Okay. As she pointed out. Women get away with murder, right? Or they get half the sentence that men do for the same crime, okay? If there's any discrimination in the world today, it's against us menfolk. That's what's going on, folks. Let's get real.
Very, very, very much.
Right.
That is quite true.
Right, okay? And then she continues to quote Peter, his call to aspire to the inner beauty of a trusting and tranquil spirit is staggeringly countercultural. Yeah, today it is, because everything is focused on external appearances. He writes, quote, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes." That's materialism, folks. Instead,
it's all superficial.
It's all superficial. Instead, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is obedient to Yahweh's laws, which is of great worth in God's sight, for this is the way the holy women of the past, see, Peter is acknowledging what we've been saying, that women of Israel were not discriminated against. They just had gender roles, and if we stick to our gender roles, everything's fine, okay?
Well, if we go along with Yahweh's laws of nature,
yes.
Everything's fine.
That's right, that's right. And all the chaos in the world can be attributed to one thing only. That's disobedience to Yahweh's laws. That's the bottom line. And, of course, we white folk, men and women, are guilty as well. But if it weren't for Jewish provocations, it wouldn't be half as bad as it is today. Okay?
No, so the instigators.
They're the instigators.
All of this.
That's right. For this is the way the holy women of the past, he's speaking about the Israelite women, who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. Okay? Mm-hmm. There's a thing called inner beauty.
Well, that's okay. That Proverbs 31 that I just did a
right?
thing about.
Okay, yeah. Equally staggering is his call to men to elevate their wives with respect and understanding. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner. And he's simply talking about the physical attributes here. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, when it's in Galatians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 26, where he says, there's no difference between male and female, Judahite and Israelite, etc., etc. He's not denying gender differences. He's not denying racial differences. What he's saying is that all Israelites were forgiven at the cross. There was a blanket forgiveness. And so that applies to everybody. He's not declaring that there's no more gender differences and there's no more racial differences, as the churches falsely interpret that. Correct? This is how...
Right. Well, they take whosoever, but they forget that whosoever is concerning whosoever of Israel.
Right. Right. The whole context is about Israel. The whole book of Galatians and the whole Bible is about Israel and no other people. Okay? So, the Apostle Paul is often accused of being a misogynist. What's that? What's a misogynist?
Well, you go to a misogynist parlor and get your back massaged.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
See, that's a word that feminists invented. I don't even know what that is. Okay. One who hates and fears women. I've never hated and feared women. Never once in my life. Have I hated a woman?
I've feared a few of them.
Okay. Well,
you scare me to death, baby.
Yeah, right. Yeah. I've always had nothing but mutual respect both ways. Okay? That's it. I've never tried to lord it over women, and no woman has ever tried to lord it over me. That's just the way it is. I have never had any intention of hating and fearing women or lording it over women. I've never felt that in my whole life. Yet I'm one of those evil male supremacists.
A hatred of women.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Well, I love women. I don't hate them.
Yeah, exactly. But Paul's teachings on women reflect the creation order. There you go. The creation order.
Oh, my.
that's politically incorrect.
Show.
And high value God places on women as creatures made in his image.
Yeah.
In the image of Elohim. Paul's commands for husbands and wives in Ephesians 5 provide a completely new way to look at marriage. Actually it works both ways. There's henpecked husbands who take orders from their wives for whatever reason. Sometimes the husband just doesn't give a damn, and he does not want to take responsibility for his role as husband and father. Okay? He says, you do it, honey. Okay.
There you go. I need to take a short break.
Okay.
Just give me a minute or two. I'll be right back.
Sure. Okay. So Paul is not a misogynist. Absolutely not. If anything, Paul is helping to elevate women from the materialism of the surrounding culture. And if we are wise, we will elevate ourselves from the materialism of the current culture here. Okay? So let me repeat. Paul's commands for husbands and wives in Ephesians 5 provided a completely new way to look at marriage. And of course, in those days, women were considered as property. The pride of wives were considered property, and so were the children, so were the slaves, property of the male dominant household figure. But that was Greek culture, that was Roman culture, that was culture in Asia and Africa and the Middle East outside of Israelite culture. So you can't blame this on Yahweh, okay? It's just that men have stronger physical bodies. And those men who do hate and fear women take advantage of their physical strength, will beat their wives and beat them, their wives and children, not just wives, but their children and other men. And other men, feminists, pay attention. It's not just male violence against women. It's male on male violence too. It's not a one-way street. And as an earthbound illustration of the spiritual mystery of the union of Christ and his bride, the church. So, in other words, as Yahshua is the husband and we, all of Israel, taken collectively, are the bride, and the utmost respect and love that Yahshua shows his people Israel, every husband is to show this kind of love and respect to his wife, not just to his wife, but his children, and vice versa. That's true Christianity. In other words, whatever differences exist among us, male, female, rich, poor, status, no status, we are to be able to ignore those differences and do our absolute best to treat each other with respect and love and never lord it over one another. And the perfect marriage between a husband and a wife is when they both consult each other before making a decision. Okay? I've done that a couple of times, and my wife promptly and correctly corrected me for doing so. And she's made decisions without consulting me. So that's what marriage is all about. You become one. You become one flesh. That's how it's defined. And that's only prescribed for Israel. Now, it does the rest of the world good to emulate this example. However, in a materialistic world, especially, for example, the main cause of divorce and marital strife is money. Because families, in order to run smoothly, for a household to run smoothly, has to have a decent cash flow. And if you don't have a decent cash flow, it creates all kinds of strife. And the husband and the wife started arguing about money. Whose fault is that? How about the money changers? How about blaming the money changers who are cheating us all with their usury games? The money changers, the same money changers that was the only violent act recorded in the Gospels when Yahshua overturned the money changers. Yet the Judeo-Christians and the Jews utterly ignore that incident. Because why? Because they do not want us to learn the lessons of the Gospels. She continues, he calls wives to not only submit to their husbands as to Yahweh, but he also calls husbands to submit to Christ, 1 Corinthians 11:3. He calls men. So the husband has to set an example of being as Christ-like as he possibly can be. And if he fails, then the wife should chastise her husband and say, hey,
I'm back.
Okay. So, and she says, hey, you're not doing it right. I want justice. Okay. And then we talked about it last week, Pastor Steve, the men folk, when we had a real Christian culture, when there was a wife beater around the clan,
they didn't do well.
No, the other men got together and they beat the crap out of that guy.
If he was a drunk and he came home and beat his wife and his kids weren't being fed and he was spending his money on liquor.
Yeah.
He didn't do well, but that was back in the day.
Right.
Okay. Right. When it was a clan instead of the clowns.
Right. Right. And so that was Christian society. That just wasn't the Ku Klux Klan. That was common.
Well, the Klan was all Christian. It was heavily Christian, and they were strict. I mean, back in the day when it was the real deal, they were the upright members of society.
Yes,
they didn't have this garbage that they've got in it today. People that can't even speak. They can't put a sentence together properly, let alone write it down and punctuate it.
Yeah.
They were the leaders and the educated men and the upright church-going folk.
Right.
Not the dregs of society.
Right. And those people have been driven out of the Klan as they have been driven out of white society in general.
It's become a joke today. It makes me very sad.
Right. 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 So she continues. He calls men to love their wives in a self-sacrificing way as Christ loves Israel, not the church. In a culture where a wife was property and a disrespected piece of property at that, Paul elevates women to a position of honor previously unknown in the world. Again, this is not understanding Israelite society. As Peter just said, we used to honor our women, right?
Yep.
And that was changed by the Pharisees, who had taken over Christian, that is, Israelite society by this time. So she continues, Paul also provided highly countercultural direction for the New Testament church, the congregations properly. In the Jewish synagogue, women had no place and no voice in worship, as they really don't anymore today. They never have. You know, the rabbis say, thank God I was not born a woman. That's not in the Bible. Yep. That's not in the Bible. In the pagan temples, the place of women was to serve as prostitutes. Hey, guess what? That's what's happening in the churches today. We're prostitution.
And in the pagan temples, even young men were served
right,
as prostitutes.
Right? Yeah, so the prostitutionalization of society is what's happening today. Both sexes, folks. Both sexes. This is the result of the Judeo churches embracing free love, whatever you want to call it, liberalism.
Well, the paganistic culture was a sexual culture.
Mm-hmm.
All their religious rites were all sexual. What have we today? Our culture is nothing but sex.
That's right.
Sex, 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 sex. It's push.
And money.
Everywhere. It is. Our society has been paganized.
That's right. Totally paganized. Yes.
And in the old Christian churches, you didn't have the women coming into church. Even if they were worshiping on Sunday, they were covered. They didn't have all these bare arms
right.
and low-cut dresses.
Right.
Well, boy, they do today.
Yeah, yeah.
They come into church in mini skirts.
That's right. That's right. And strapless.
And the old Baptist preacher, the deacons would stop them
right.
at the door. You go home and you get dressed properly.
Right.
You don't come in here looking like that.
Yeah. Strapless mini dresses. That's the style of today's Judeo churches. Right? I mean, it's incredible. And the church leaders looked the other way. Or
they wore dresses into church. They had their arms covered to the elbow.
Right.
And the skirts were well below the knee. Most
right.
of them were ankle length. The dresses were ankle length.
Right. The traditional Catholics, they dressed that way.
And they had a scarf on their head.
Right.
And hair was not
babushka.
All down. You didn't let your hair down for any man but your husband.
That's right.
You had hair piled up on your head in a fashionable thing. And they didn't wear hats in the church.
Yeah, yeah. You can have a fashionable babushka.
They had a hat, but most of the women wore a beautiful scarf that matched the dress over their head.
That's
because
they
are to cover their head.
Right. And
boy,
so
how things have changed, brothers and sisters.
And in the churches. The churches have loose morals, Pastor Steve.
That's what I'm talking about. The churches of today are not the churches as they used to be when I was a boy.
Right. Right. And you know what? Men and women were happier in those days, weren't they?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes, much happier. And we had family life.
Now. Yes, what woman they should.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So all of this is a deliberate attempt by the Jews to destroy white Christian society, without a doubt. But because the Jews media doesn't inform our people of that, they think it's normal. And feminists, more than anyone, and of course there's many men who agree with feminism, libtards, okay? They actually believe...
They have better luck that way.
Yeah, right. Right.
And that's what it's all about.
They actually believe that gender is a social construct. They actually believe that, despite what the science class teaches them about testosterone and other hormones, you know, male and female hormones and eggs and sperm.
Okay. Yeah, but they'll watch football games. How many women are playing in the NFL?
Well, yeah, that's a brutal sport. 300-pound beasts.
How many women? They have women's NBA, but it's a separate...
Of course.
NBA.
Yeah, yeah.
How many women play professional baseball?
Yeah, very few. Well, they used to have a women's league, and that was very popular.
They had a women's league where they got the fast pitch softball down in Florida, and they have women's fast pitch softball. Yeah. And right. Those women are pitching the softball at 85 and 90 mile an hour.
Right.
They wind their arms around. They're pitching underhanded. But they're getting 85, 90 mile an hour out of a softball in the women's league down there. Now, don't tell me they can't pitch.
Right.
But they can't compete with the men. How they have a women. They have women's boxing.
Right. They have women's
tennis.
They don't
put them in with the men. They have women's martial arts.
Right. Yeah.
It's just separate. All why?
Society acknowledges the gender differences, and rightfully so.
Oh my! Why aren't they? Why don't they step up in the ring with one of these great big brutes?
Right, exactly. I mean,
you're
suicide.
Feminist? Go on up in there. I'm all for it. Go on in there.
Yes, right.
Please, I'll enjoy all 10 seconds of it.
Right, right. So
boom! Ten seconds into the first round, Kwanzaa Mamba Jabba knocked out his opponent.
Right. Yeah. Right. So misogyny in the church. Again, I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's something I've never practiced, so I have no idea what it is. Misogyny in the church. Author Dorothy Sayers, a friend of C.S. Lewis, wrote, and C.S. Lewis was a Christian intellectual.
Yeah, he wrote all the Narnia novels.
Right, right. Which, who's that lady in Britain, Harry Potter? She basically copied that style and made a few million on her own. Okay.
Well, now she's going to have Dumbledore or whoever he is.
Dumbledore?
he's going to be a queer.
Oh, okay. Right.
They're coming out with new movies. She's going to make him the old man with the beard. He's queer for Harry Potter.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah, it's all a deliberate ripoff of Narnia, and what was the other one? The lion mythology. I forget who wrote that. You know, where the lion is actually
Christ. The Lion King.
The Lion King. Yeah. Well, the lion is actually Christ. Okay.
Right.
Yeah, and so they're distorting that too. It's all of modern society is a distortion and mocking of Christianity and white society. That's what it is.
It's coming out of Jewish Hollywood.
That's right. Author Dorothy Sayers, a friend of C.S. Lewis, wrote, quote, "Perhaps it is no wonder that the women first at the cradle and last at the cross. They were first at the cradle and last at the cross. They had never known a man like this man. There had never been such another. A prophet and teacher who never nagged at them, who never flattered or coaxed or patronized. That goes both ways, folks. Who never made arch jokes. I don't know what an arch joke is. What's an arch joke? About them. Never treated them either as the women, God help us. That's Judaism, folks. Or the ladies, God bless them. There's nothing wrong with that. Who rebuked without querulousness and praised without condescension. Who took their questions and arguments seriously, who never mapped out their sphere for them, never urged, well, no, that's not true. Yahshua, you know, held up the gender differences.
Yep.
Never urged them to be feminine or jeered at them for being female, who had no axe to grind and no uneasy male dignity to defend, who took them as he found them and was completely unselfconscious. And he did the same to men. Okay.
Yeah. And when you get real equality with equal responsibility,
there you go.
They don't want any of that.
Oh wait, that's a word. What's that mean? Responsibility. The feminists don't know what that word means because they refuse to take responsibility. It's always our fault.
The men don't know what it means today either.
Yeah, that's right. Isn't it interesting, Pastor Steve, that the Jews have always been blaming the Christians for what ails them, okay?
Yeah.
And the feminists are always blaming men for what ails them. I sense a connection.
Hmm.
I think the feminists have learned something from the rabbis.
Oi, what you say here, not say it's not so. Oi, no.
Right, right. She continues, there is no act, no sermon, no parable in the whole gospel that borrows its pungency from female perversity. Of course, the perversity of any kind. The Bible is totally anti-perversity. Nobody could possibly guess from the words of Jesus that there was anything funny about woman's nature. And Yeshua didn't make fun of anybody. In fact, he tells us we're not to do that. We're not to make fun of anyone. In the second century, Clement of Alexandria believed and taught that every woman should blush because she is a woman. However, not all women are capable of blushing. Only white women are. Which proves that it was a white society, right, to even say this, to invoke blushing. Tertullian, who lived about the same time, said, you, Eve, are the devil's gateway. You destroyed so easily God's image, man. Well, Adam did it too, folks. Adam did it too.
Oh, he played right along with it.
Yes, he did. On account of your desert, or probably meaning desertion, dessert, maybe food, that is death. Even
you're
the Son of God.
You're just desserts.
You're just
desserts.
Yeah, right. That is death.
What do you?
Yeah, okay. Even the Son of God had to die. So here, theologically, yes, women have been falsely blamed for the fall, which was just as much the fault of Adam. Okay. Augustine in the 4th century believed that a woman's image of God was inferior to that of man's. And unfortunately, it gets even nastier than that. Now this is false. This is non-Christian, non-white society.
This is the church, quote unquote. He's talking about Judeo-Christianity here.
Yes, exactly. And she concludes here in this section, Jesus loves women. Yes, he loves all Israel. He loves all Israel. Effects of Christianity on culture. As Christianity spread throughout the world, its redemptive effects elevated women and set them free in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
No other religion has accomplished anything close to this. The Christian ethic declared equal worth and value for both men and women. Husbands were commanded to love their wives and not exasperate their children. These principles were in direct conflict with the Roman institution of patria potestas, which gave absolute power of life and death over a man's family, including his wife. When patria potestas was finally repealed by an emperor who was moved by high biblical standards, who was that, I'd like to know? What a tremendous effect that had on culture. Women were also granted basically the same control over their property as men. Only in white Christian society has this ever happened, ladies.
Mm-hmm.
Men, only in white Christian society has this ever happened. Women were also granted basically the same control over the property as men, and for the first time, mothers were allowed to be guardians of their children. Okay?
There you go.
Christianity, the best thing that ever happened to women.
That's correct.
Right? The biblical view of husbands and wives as equal partners caused a sea change in marriage as well. Christian women started marrying later. Well, even as late as, even my parents, their marriage was arranged by the in-laws, by the laws and the in-laws, right?
Now laws, right?
No laws. So this whole business about romance, there's one episode in the Old Testament, and that is Ruth, where she was romanced, you know, by her beau. Right?
Mm-hmm. By her Boaz.
Right, by her Boaz, right? Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. But that was rare. Almost all marriages were arranged up until the last generation. Like I said, my own parents, their marriage was arranged.
Well, now, Eli, let's get down to this. Men pay more attention in the breeding of their dogs and horses than
right.
they do to whom they marry.
Right.
You got a very intelligent man that marries a beautiful airhead
right.
with no practicality, and he raises idiot children.
Right.
But you got another man that's not worried about earthly beauty. He marries a woman that's a little more plain, but she's got all the brains in the world and can run his household.
Yes.
And when they get together, he's successful in business because he gets counsel from his
right.
smart wife.
Yeah, there you go.
And they raise smart children. And he passes on his inheritance to those smart children because you've got the gene pool there that is superior.
Yes.
The woman has the hips for birthing. She doesn't have the hard birth that these little narrow-hipped stick models have.
Right.
They have a hell of a time giving a birth. He marries a real woman.
Right.
Because behind every successful man is
yes.
a smart woman.
Amen.
Marriage is a partnership. And that mm-hmm. people have lost that concept
right. Right.
of a working partnership,
mm-hmm.
the man and his wife against all the problems that come up in society.
Right.
If a man marries smart, because beauty is fading, he marries smart, he's a smart
right.
man.
Right, right.
It goes to say. There
yes.
you go.
Yeah. So the greater marital freedom that Christianity gave women eventually gained wide appeal. I'm not so sure about that, because it certainly hasn't cross-fertilized into Hinduism, Islam, Africa, voodoo, or any other culture that I'm aware of. It certainly doesn't apply to the macho society of South America and Central America. It does not apply there. Okay. So, even though there a lot of that is Catholic culture, it's still macho, still very macho, and women are nothing but sex objects in that culture, right? So,
well,
this is a generalization. It's not true.
It's looking in this paragraph here, the impact on common practice of polygamy.
Mm-hmm.
The Mormons still do that. Not
right.
now, they're offshoots of the Mormon faith. But the reason that they had multiple wives back then, because wives died.
Or husbands died.
During the childbirth. And they had multiple wives because they needed to have lots of sons because the population of the Israelites was so small. That changed.
Right. And a constant warfare depleted the supply of men.
Right. The sons went out to battle, and you'd have four sons, and only one would come back.
Right.
And you'd have three wives, and all three would get pregnant, and one died. You have to get another wife. The lifespan would, if you were in your 40s, you were an elder.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
And at 45, if you made it to 45 years of age way back when, you were an old man. Mm-hmm. Look at us today. I just hit 70. And
yeah.
I'm fairly hale and hearty for a man of 70.
Right, right. And does modern society honor oldism?
They don't honor old men and old women, the elders. If you read in the scriptures, in the New Testament, says that when the elders come in the church, the congregation is to stand.
There you go. There you go. Ageism is a modern invention.
They don't do it.
That's right. That's right. So there's all kinds of discrimination today that the feminists don't acknowledge. The only oppression they acknowledge is that of white males over women. That's it. That's a total distortion of reality. All right, folks, thanks for listening. Praise Yahweh, pass the ammunition. This has been Bloodlines for July 23rd, 2017. Thank you for listening.
Shalom aleichem, brothers and sisters.
Radio.